October 21st, 2014.
Now it's official.
I'm not sure exactly how far we went. I think we left off somewhere on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Maybe we'll just review a little bit. The halacha always has a category of three people who are lumped together, the cheresh, the shaita, and the katan. The katan means a child before bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. Katan is a boy, a katana is a girl. And the shaita is a person who can be a big genius, but he's crazy. He thinks he's Napoleon. Or the woman thinks that she's Cleopatra, whatever. She functions very well, but she's crazy. Right? The person can be a genius, he can talk on two telephones at the same time, be a multimillionaire, but he's a meshugana. So that's a shaita, deranged. In a cheresh, the poskim say is one who's retarded. Has to be significantly retarded. Means he had such a shvacha kap, he doesn't even have the seichel, the common sense of a shvacha 13-year-old boy. They have different levels of retardation. Let's say a person is already in his 20s and 30s, and he has the seichel like a 6-year-old. So that's called a cheresh. So min haTorah, all three are lumped together that they don't have das. What's the relevance? They don't have das. So let's say they got a big yerusha from their rich uncle, from their parent, whatever. So they cannot sell. They cannot sell. They cannot buy. They take a neder. It's not binding. They magdish something. They mekadosh anisha. The kedushin is not chal. Or let's say the person was married and then he loses his seichel. He becomes senile. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's a shaita. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's also a shaita. So the person can't give a get. Even though he was married min haTorah, when he got married he was a bardas. And now he's a shaita, so he's a lab bardas. So the cheresh had to be cotton a lab b'nei das. So whenever you need something that needs das, all three can do it. With the Rabbanon, we make differences between the cheresh and the shaita. With the Rabbanon, they have for retarded people, they made a takana the Rabbanon that they can get married, not only marry each other, a cheresh can marry a chareshes, that's the name of the perek at the end of Yivam, it's perek cheresh. So the Mishnah talks about a cheresh and also chareshes, a cheresh and also pikachas, or a pikeach and also chareshes. Some healthy, normal people would be prepared to marry a retarded person. It wouldn't bother them. Other people want a spouse who's going to be challenging to carry on a conversation. And other people will be happy with a person who is a shvach, with a retarded person. So they made a takonim with the Rabbanon that there's such a thing as kiddush cheresh v'chareshes, not only if they marry each other, even if they marry pikech or a pikachas. But they never made a takonim that a shoite should have kiddushin, even though the shoite can be the world's biggest genius. So the Gemara says, because the marriage is not going to last. The Gemara has an expression, Ein odem dorim nochosh b'kfif achas. You can't live together in the same bedroom, in the same house with a snake, with a meshugana. The person is absolutely deranged, so they didn't want to make a takona de rabban. So that's on the level of the rabbanon, we distinguish between a cheresh and a shaita. On the level of the rice, it's all the same. So not only, so the cheresh shaita v'katan, al pidin, they don't have das, so they can't make kiddushin, they can't give a get, they can't make kinyanim, and so on. The same thing, let's say, to write a get lishma. You have to write a get lishma. So the Gemara in Gitna seems to say that a cheresh shaita v'katan, since a lab b'nei das, so al pidin, they're mufka from writing lishma. Even if it's the Vilna Goyen, a week before his bar mitzvah, he already finished Shas a few times, and he knows everything by heart. Still, the halacha says that cheresh shaita v'katan al pidin alab b'nei das. By the katan, it's a loy plug deraisa. Even if the child is a genius, before bar mitzvah, before the age of 13, al pidin you declare is alab bar das. The cheresh and the shaita, that really depends on the assessment of the situation. If nishken shaita, says okay, he is a bar das. But the cheresh retarded. Let's say by the time he reaches the age of 50, then he has the seichel of a shvacha 13-year-old. So it's no longer a cheresh. Once he reaches the seichel, he has the seichel of a shvacha 13-year-old, so it's no longer a cheresh. But by cotton, it's a loy plug deraisa. So here, the Mishnah said Since they're la b'nei da, so they don't have nemanis. They don't have nemanis, not for din derais and not for din derabbanim. Let's say a lot of times, before Pesach, everybody has Pesach zikadisha. Before Pesach, the mother always buys new things, new silverware, new glasses, and she sends the children to the kela mikveh to be teivel lekela. So if she's going to send ktanim to the mikveh, not only will the katan or the ktana not be bagloif, they won't be believed on tefilas kelim that are metal, which is a mitzvah min haTorah, they won't be believed even on tefilas kelim that's glass. The Gemara seems to say that tefilas kelim on glass is only made the rabbanon. A katan doesn't have the manis, not on didim derais and not on didim derabbanon. The Mishnah just has the end of the second parak in Ksubas. The last Mishnah has a katan shehigdil. If the katan tells me after bar mitzvah that what he knows from before the bar mitzvah, let's say the mother bought new things for the bar mitzvah party for this boy that they're having in their home. The bar mitzvah, the kid is going to be bar mitzvah on Wednesday. So the mother tells him to go to the mikveh the week before to be toivel all the things. But they're not going to use these silverware. They're not going to use the things till next week, till after. So if it's silverware, if it's metal, kelim, metal pots and pans, metal forks and knives that needs tefilas kelim and haTorah, so then he won't be believed. He won't be believed even next week. He's a katan shehigdal. He's going to tell me after bar mitzvah what he knows from before the bar mitzvah. He won't be believed. But on the glasses, the tefilas kelim on the glasses only with the rabbanon. So the Mishnah, the end of the second parak in Ksuba says a katan shehigdal is neman on dirim the rabbanon. So that's what it seems to say. The Mishnah only gives specific case. The Mishnah talks about kiyum shtoras is the rabbanon, chum shabbos is the rabbanon, a couple of dinim that are all the rabbanon. So that's a machlokes haposkim. Does the din apply to all dinim derabbanon, or only to those specific three cases that are mentioned by the Mishnah? We assume it applies to all dinim derabbanon.
What do you think nowadays if, let's say, the husband or the wife becomes a shoka, or let's say goes into a coma for years and years, and the spouse wants to remarry? Is there anything?
So if the wife is a lav basdas, so we have the husband, we would permit the husband to marry another wife. The only thing that prevents him is the Cherem de Rabbein Gershom. The Cherem de Rabbein Gershom is over 774 years ago, in the year 5000, but the Ramah writes that the Ashkenazim have accepted it as a minig. It's no longer a Cherem. Years ago, before the year 5000, was really a Cherem. It means if a person was married two women, he would be in Cherem. Cherem is a curse that he should drop dead. And today, there's no automatic Cherem. It's just that the minig is that you don't allow him to marry two wives. And if he does, then we encourage him to divorce one of them. And if he doesn't want to, then we have the right to put him in Cherem, to force him to observe the minig. So if it's just an issue of Cherem de Rabbein Gershom, then we have a clause. We have what we call Het Tamei Rabbanim. The procedure is that you get three Rabbanim to visit the woman and to investigate the case, and if they think that there's a valid cause for permitting the husband to marry another wife, you have to see that it should be legally permissible. You shouldn't violate any din of the machusa. And once that's taken care of, then you have to have the het tamei rabbanim. So these three rabbanim write up what they saw, and they send it out in the mail, or they go to a rabbinical convention, and you have to get an additional 97 rabbanim from Gimel Medinas. Gimel Medinas doesn't necessarily mean three different countries. It means one from California, and one from New York, and one from Montreal, where they have different perspectives on the world. Like in Spain, in the days of the Rishonim, there were different regions in Spain. So the Rishonim said that's called Gimel Medinas. Three different regions in Spain is also considered if the husband becomes a lav bardas, nebuch, the woman is stuck. She there's no heter mayor rabbanim for the woman.
Is there anything that we can do? Like sometimes in halacha we say that had they known ahead of time that such and such would have happened, they never would have. You know, like in some areas apply that.
There was a scandalous incident in Eretz Yisrael this summer. There's a bezdin in Tzfat. There's a man who was married for 5 years and he had a child with his wife, and then he was in some accident, I think, and he's a vegetable now for 5 years, and his wife is chalashing to remarry, so the bezin decided there that they're going to write a get on behalf of the husband. They're doing the husband a favor. Why is it a favor to the husband? It's a favor to the wife. Why is it a favor to the husband? And they wrote a get, and they gave the wife a get, and they told her she's allowed to remarry. It's ridiculous. There never was such a thing. It's ridiculous. The new chief rabbi, Rabbi Avadi Yosef's son, wrote a whole tshuva disagreeing with them, that it's not acceptable. They should have allowed the husband to die in peace. He's a vegetable now, so don't keep on treating him. You're not mechuyev to extend his life. You're not getting anywhere, so let him die. It's easier to be mekel on the loisirtza than to be mekel on the loisinaf. The woman is still married to the husband.
Why is the Rebbe using a retarded for cherish as opposed to the classic deaf mute?
Right, the Gemara says cherish means ein shameh v'ein medaber. So the poskim explain Rabbi Akiva Eger on Yeridaya, in the beginning of Yeridaya, when it quotes this Mishnah, cherish out of kadosh shochtu, they don't have namanas, you have to have someone watching them. So Rabbi Akiva Eger writes, if you want to know what's the definition of a cherish, look in the Sefer Zichron Yosef. Zichron Yosef is a Shadas and Shuvas that was written by one of the German Rabbanim from Fort. And the Yosamech also has, in one of his tshuvas, he writes, the best tshuva about cherish is in the Zichron Yosef. So the Zichron Yosef shows from passages in Eben Ezer that it doesn't really depend on a deaf mute. A deaf mute is a balmum. Just because he has two mumim doesn't make him into a lab bardas. In the days of the Gemara, they had no way to educate, they had no way to communicate with such a person. But many poskim hold that today, where we can educate the deaf mute, and he can function same as anybody else, he's considered a bardas. But even if the person can hear and he can speak, but he's retarded, significantly retarded, so that's what they say, that's what the Zichron Yosef writes in his tshuva, that's the real definition of a cheresh.
Because at the time they couldn't educate them, so that was a classic.
That would always be, a deaf mute would always be an example of a retarded person, because they had no way to educate him. Yeah. The Gemara seems to say that autistic is a shaita. The Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga discusses how do you identify that a person is a shaita. So if the person thinks he's Napoleon or she thinks that she's Cleopatra, so that's a dead giveaway. They don't know what's going on. Right. But then the Gemara has other simonim. So some of them sound like they correspond to autism. Some of them sound like they correspond to autism.
Some of them are geniuses in one field.
Yes, they can be a big... The shaita can be a big genius. A lot of geniuses, but they're absolutely crazy.
No,
really.
No, that the cherish, not a shaita. Cherish is a retarded person.
Right, but autistic, I think the poskim assume that he's a shaita, al pi din, not a cherish.
I thought he would be retarded, therefore he's a cherish.
I don't know. The Gemara gives there the simanim. How do I identify one as a shaita? So some of the simanim sound like a description of autism. Yeah. It doesn't make that much of a difference between cherish and shaita. The difference would be for kiddush and the rabbanon, we said. They made kiddush and the rabbanon for the cherish, not for the shaita. That's a slight difference. So again, so the cherish to the cotton, even if the cotton is the Vilna Gaon, the day before his bar mitzvah, Al Pidin is considered a labadaz hotnishke nemanis. So if they shech the behema, if someone else is watching, a gadol is watching, whose gadol means after bar mitzvah, who knows hilchos shechita, and he says, I watch the way the cherish out of a kotten are Jewish, if a goy shechts, it's not acceptable, even if the goy knows all the dinim. But if a cherish out of a kotten shechts, it'll be a good shechita, but he doesn't have nemanis. So the Mishnah says, first Mishnah said, if you have other people watching, then it's going to be shechitosik sher, then it's going to be good. So the Gemara raises an issue, but a cher shayt to the kotna la b'nei das. So how can it be that the shechita is good? What's exactly the question? Just because the la b'nei das, they can't have das you need for kinyonim, das you need for kiddushin, for gittin, for nedorim, you need, in those areas you need das. For shechita, das means I own property, I own a table, I own real estate, I want to sell, I want to buy, for that you need das al pi din. Here, I want to decide whether I want to get married, I want to get divorced. I'm making a decision about myself, I want to accept upon myself a neder, a shvuah, to be magdush a korban, that you need das bailam. But over here, we're not talking Das Bailam. Only the Bailam of the Behemah can shech the Behemah? It's not a question of Das Bailam. The Gemara quotes, there's a Machloikis Hatanoim, where the Shechita needs Kavona or not. Shechita needs Koyach Gavra. Let's say the Gemara has later, a person is holding onto a knife, and he drops it, a very heavy knife, or he drops it, and then it happens to shech the chicken. So that's no good. That's a lack of Koyach Gavra. But what if the person throws a knife in order to hit a target, a very sharp knife, and then a chicken happens to be walking by and he accomplished the shech the chicken. He didn't have in mind at all to shech the chicken. So that's the machlokes hatanoim, where the shechita tzricha kavona. The Gemara doesn't use a lashon where the shechita tzricha das, machlokes where the shechita tzricha kavona. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah that says that a cheresh shechita v'katan can shech, is obviously assuming the loy bein and kavana l'shchita. Gemara says it's Reb Nosson's opinion. It's a machlekes hatanoim, and we pass like Reb Nosson. Even though Reb Nosson seems to be the minority opinion, a lot of times you have a machlekes hatanoim yochid v'rabim, and Amoraim decided that they like the minority opinion. In every generation, you have the right to reverse the psak. In the days of the Tanoim, it was probably yochid v'rabim alocha k'rabim. It was probably accepted against Reb Nosson. But the Gemara comes to the conclusion they like Rav Nosson Shita better, because the Stam Mishnah is like that. Mishnah says that a Cherushet v'kotten can shecht. So halachic is Stam Mishnah. This Rav Nosson preceded the days of the Mishnah. So his was a minority opinion that is good, you don't need kavana, but we paskan like him. So the Gemara considers this as if the kotten shechting b'li kavana. Why is it a kotten shechting b'li kavana? A kotten al pidin doesn't have das. What do you say? It doesn't have kavana. So that's what the Gemara went into a whole dissertation. There's sometimes where the halacha doesn't require das bailam. It just needs kavana. For example, so the Gemara says, kabbalas tumah. Let's say someone is tamei, or you have a dead body, you have a dead mouse, you have something that's tamei, and then it touches something that's tahor. So there are four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. We discussed it a lot on different occasions. Four categories are odem, mekele, mochlem, amashkim. So a kli is only mekabel tumah if it's a kli masa. That's the loshen aposah. Let's say you have, I shechted an animal and I skinned the animal, I removed the hide, and I made, out of the leather, I made a jacket, I made shoes, I made a belt, or I made to put on the ground, let's say, to have a picnic on, a mat. So a mat is a kli, okay, like a tablecloth is a kli. So if I was miyache this as a mat, then it's makabel tumah. If I have the thing, but I don't want to use it as a mat, let's say I have a vase, and the vase is nice to put flowers in, but I'm not going to use it till I make a design on it. It's roi lehishtamshas, but I'm not going to use. No one's going to use it because it's not oimid lehishtamshas. So that's the halacha that's derived from the pasuk kli maase. Kli maase means that someone is miyachidit. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Let's say the children are playing games. So they take a pumpkin and they carve out the inside of the pumpkin, and now they use the pumpkin as a container. So they throw pennies into the pumpkin. So they made it into it's a kli eitz. It grows from the ground. It's wood. So Kaliyetz is one of the Kalim, and that's Makabal Tumah. So if the kids took walnuts, and they took out all the food from inside, and then they used the nuts as a container for something, to hold sand or something, or to make a scale out of it, so then they made it into a Kli. So the kid obviously knows what he's doing. He made it into a Kli, so then it's Makabal Tumah. What if, let's say, there was a piece of hide, and the kid doesn't cut it, he doesn't make a design on the edge, he just decides he's going to use it as a mat. So you want it, so that the Mishnah says, Kol HaKelim Yoredim L'Idei Tumah B'Machshav. If you have a piece of leather that could theoretically be used as a mat, but no one put any finishing touches on it, so the owner decides, I'm going to use it the way it is. I'm not going to bother to waste time to make any finishing touches. That's what the Mishnah says, Kol HaKelim Yoredim L'Idei Tumah B'Machshava. If the owner decides, someone else decides, it's not his, as Nishken Balabos, they decide what you're going to do with my mat. So if let's say the little kid owns this piece of hide, and he decides, he didn't cut it, he didn't do any maisa to demonstrate that he's making it into a kli, he He just decided with his kavanah he's going to use it as a kli. So then the Mishnah says, a katan yesh la maise ve'en lo machshava. If the katan took the pumpkin and he hollowed out the inside and he made it into a container, so he made it into a kli. So then it's roi l'kabel tumen. Then it says that it's tummy. It doesn't mean the last line on the omud, yud beis omud, it does mean that it's tummy. Rashi says it's roi l'kabel tumen. Kli eitz needs a base kibbutz. Yeah, let's say you have a metal knife.
The mat wood.
No, leather doesn't need.
You must use it as a base.
So cloth, let's say you have a tablecloth made from cloth, a tablecloth made from leather, that doesn't need base kibbutz. Let's say you have a Dixie cup and you have a spoon that's flat. So that's kli eitz and it doesn't have a base kibbutz. That's called pshuti kli eitz. So that's not mekabel tumah. But if you have, let's say, a knife, a metal knife, so pshut dikle matechas, a flat knife that's made from matechas metal, is mekabel tumah. Tosis has a chumra midirabbanan in the beginning of Sukkah, this quote in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a wooden tray that's very wide, even if it doesn't have any libzavos and doesn't have any sides, let's say, so if it has sides, it'll prevent the glasses from falling off. But if it doesn't have any sides, just a wide piece of wood, but it's right to all things on it, but Tosha says that's a pshuti kliyeh, so that's mekabel tumah midirabbanan, because it's so big, it's roi lekabel tumah. But if you have this spoon from the Dixie cup that's made from wood, it's not roi, you can use it to eat your ice cream, but you can't use it to hold it as a tray, so that's not mekabel tumah, not minatara, not midirabbanan.
On the machlokes before, Cheri said bakata, in terms of shchita, they don't need das, whether they need kavanah, but what about the element of ne'amanus?
Right, so the Mishnah says they have no nemanah. So it's only good, there's nothing to discuss unless someone else was watching him. You have to have an adult passed by mitzvah, acherim royim oisam. So then the other person says, I watched him from the beginning to the end and I know that he did the shechita properly, so then it would be good. But the chiddush was, but the cherush had to be caught now pidin ala b'nei da'as, so there's no kavanah. The Gemara said, the Mishnah goes like Rav Nosson, that you don't need kavanah. But they have no nemanah, exactly. That's what the Mishnah says. They wouldn't be nemanim. If shachad beino lebein atzman, there was no one else watching, we wouldn't be able to believe them. You have to have acherim on the magabov to give us namanis that we were watching the whole time and they did a proper shechita.
So,
one of the three conditions for schach is that it can't be makabov. It has to be gedulei karka, has to have grown from the ground. You can't use metal poles because that is karka mamish. Metal is karka, doesn't grow from the ground. You have to have something that grew from the ground. Then it has to be tolush. You can't use the trees while they're still attached to the ground. And has to, you can't use the fruits either because the fruits of the vegetables are oichel. It's mekabel tumah. Meichel odom is mekabel tumah. Grass, a hay that's meichel behem is not mekabel tumah. So that you can use for schach. But meichel odom is mekabel tumah. Then is meichel odom is only mekabel tumah after you rinsed it off with water. You have to have heksha mashkin. So what if you have fruits or vegetables that were never rinsed off? It's not huksha lekabel tumah while it's still attached to the ground. Probably everything was rained on at some time or another while it was growing on the tree. But just like mechuba lekarka, the fruits or the vegetables while they're still attached are not mekabel tumah, so they're not mekabel heksha either. So the fact that it was raining on the apples while they were still attached to the tree doesn't make them that they're huksha lekabel tumah. But let's say you have apples that are detached from the tree and they weren't yet rinsed off. So they're not yet mekabel tumah. So the din is that they're pasul l'schach, that's a machloikes achreinim, if it's pasul l'schach men ha-toyra midirabon. Some hold it's only pasul midirabonon. Men ha-toyra, it's not roi l'kabel tumah. And others hold no. That's called roi l'kabel tumah. All you need is to do the heksher. So those are the three conditions. For schach has to be gidul ikark, has to be tolush. And the third condition, it has to be dov she'ena mekabel tumah. It shouldn't be roi l'achila sodom.
So when I designate a piece of wood for the schach, that doesn't make it into a kli?
No, that's not a kli.
Even though I'm designating it for a specific purpose?
Yeah, that's not a kli. A kli is something here. This is a kli. Something, a tape recorder, these things are kli. A tie is a kli. A beggar, clothing is a kli. Schach is a building. That's not a kli.
But you said like a mat would, like if I take a piece of tablecloth and I designate it as a mat.
A mat as a tablecloth or as a mat to put on the ground to have a picnic, so that's called a kli. Yeah, that's called a kli. That has a shtamshus for the odo. But the roof, you're not, the roof protects me from the rain, from the sun, but that's not called a shtamshus or odo.
But if I use some piece of wood that's a kli, like if I use a bunch of baseball bats, which have a designated purpose, then...
Baseball bat, I think, is a kli. Probably
right,
is a kli.
So you can't do it. Okay.
Yeah. I think so. So the Gemara quotes the Dinim. So the Gemara says like this, if the little kids before Bar Mitzvah know what they're doing, and they hollow out the walnuts and they use the shell, or they hollow out the pumpkin and they use it to put pennies or to put the pencils or something, that he made a maaser. The kid demonstrates he knows what he's doing. So that's Minat Torah. The Kotni Yeshlo maaser. So that's, the Kli is Royal Kabbal Tumah Minat Torah. If the kid has, let's say, a sheet of leather, and he decided he's going to designate it as a mat to use as a picnic mat. So if it would have been an adult past bar mitzvah, then we would apply the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim Yoredim L'Idei Tumah B'Machshava. The adult decides he's going to use it as a mat the way it is, not going to make any fancy designs. It would already be Mekabel Tumah without lifting a finger. But if it's a cotton, a Cheder Shot of a cotton, Ein Lehem Machshava. But the Rabbi Yechanan had a shaila. That's we began that on Yud Beis and Beis goes to Yud Gimel Amanav. What's the din? Machshavkan ikeres mitoch ma'isa. But the kid didn't really do the ma'isa to hollow out the kli. So he gives an example. The Beis Hamikdash. When you look straight ahead, you're looking Mairav. By Yossi, you go to shul, you're looking Mizrach, because we live to the west of Eretz Yisrael. He's supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. So the shuls us. I don't know if they do. But the shuls are supposed to face Mizrach. And the Beis HaMikdash, when you look straight ahead to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's Mairav. So since straight ahead is Mairav, so the right side is Tzofen and the left side is Dorim. So the Azor is divided in half. Most people are righties. So the right, so the Hakrovus HaKarbonus has to be done by the right hand. If you have a Kohen who's a lefty, he can't be Makrov Karbonus. That's a Mishnah. A Kohen who's a lefty is not kosher to be Makrov Karbonus. So the right side of the body is more important than the left side, and the right side of the Azara is more Kurdish than the left side of the Azara. So the Mishnah says, it's the first few Mishnahs, and Azal Mekamit says, Kodshi Kodoshim, Shchitosam Atzofen. Oyla Chatos Osham, Arol Kodshi Kodoshim, Shchitosam Atzofen, Vikibol Domim, Vikhlishar is Batzofen. You have to do the Shchit on the right-hand side of the Azara. Shlomim, and Korban Pesach, and Bechor Vamaisa is Kodshim Kalim. So that... The right side, left side does make a difference. But kachikach me have to shech tapka on the right side. So Rabbi Yechanan had a suffix. The kid is in the Beis HaMikdash. There are other people watching him. So it's not a shaila whether he has nemonis, whether he shecht it. We're watching and we see that he did a shechita properly. But the din is a shechita's kachim. Shechita's chulin is good for li kavona. We pass like Rav Nosson based on the first Mishnah. Cherishot to the cotton is good because shechita, this is chulin. This is not shechita, this is not zvachim. This is Shchit HaZchulin. Masech HaZvachim is called Shchit HaZvachim. So Shchit HaZkotchim, everybody agrees, needs Kavana. That's the Gemara right before the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah, Yud Gim Lamed Aleph. So the last few lines before the Mishnah, about seven lines before. Boy Menei Shmuel Me Rav Huna. The line begins with the word Me Rav Huna. Shmuel asks a question of Rav Huna. This is what Tosis discusses. Wasn't Shmuel older than Rav Huna? Shmuel was the first generation of Amoraim. Wasn't Rav Huna later? What's going on? Okay, so it's a historical issue. But the Gemara has, Boy Menei Shmuel Me Rav Huna. Maybe there was more than one Shmuel, maybe there was more than one Rav Huna. Okay. So Shmuel asked the question of Rav Huna, how do you know that, where is the Pasuk on Chumash? Nein le Mesasik the Kotchim Shehu Pasul. How do you know that Shchit Has Kotchim Mesasik is no good? What do you mean Mesasik? If he throws a knife to hit a target, then accidentally it shechts a carbon. That's one kind. So that by chulin it's good, because you have a pasuk that by kachim is no good. So Rab Nosson says the inference is only by kachim it's no good, but by chulin it is good. That's one kind of misasik. Or another kind of misasik would be that said the guy knows he's shechting an animal, but he didn't realize that it's a carbon. He didn't realize he's standing in the azara. He said he woke up, he was sleeping. He wakes up. They say, do me a favor, shech the behemoth. He shechts the behemoth, and then it comes out. He had in mind to shecht it, then it comes out. This is a carbon. He didn't even realize that it was karma. So that's also called misasik. Misasik either means he didn't realize that he had a mind to shecht it, but he didn't realize that he's shechting a korban, or he knows it's a korban, he knows he's in the Beis HaMikdash, but he didn't have kavanah to shecht. He had kavanah to throw the knife, to hit a target, and accidentally it shechts an animal. So by chulin, it's good, because the pasuk only says by kachim is no good, so the inference is that by chulin is good. So he said, where is that pasuk? Minayin, how do we know from the Chumash that misasik is pasul by shechitas kachim? So he gives him the answer, shenema v'shachat is ben aboka shetei shechita l'shem ben aboka. It's the mashmoes of the pasuk. Amaloi, up there, that I knew on my own. That pasuk I knew on my own. I'm asking you, how do you know that even be the evidence pasul? Rashi explains the last Rashi before the Mishnah. You see in Rashi where it says masnisen. So the last four words before that, Rashi quotes the expression from the Gemara, Sheen all of akasav liyakev by kachim. Tosfos says a din by kachim. By kachim, if you have a din in a pasuk, let's say you have to have a mincha belula b'shemen. You have to mix the shemen. So the Mishnah says loy balal is also kosher. Even if you didn't stir the oil in with the mincha b'diyevet, it's good. L'chatchila, the mitzvah b'shlei musa is to mix the oil. Let's say a karben chatas, you do zrik on all four corners of the mizbeach. What if b'diyevet, you only did zrik on one of the four corners? So we paskin like basila, that b'diyevet, it's good. So the Gemara assumes that by kachim, more so than in other places, by kachim, if you have a pasuk that tells you how you're supposed to do the hakrovas hakarbonis, it may not necessarily be mi'akeh b'diyevet, unless it's written at tzveitamol. If it's shin all of akosu, shina means pam shniya. It's written a second time, that's la'akev. Gradit says, b'nchulub b'lulub b'shemen 25 times in the Chumash. So Tosfos stands on the head. How do you know that loy bala l'skasha? It is shein ala b'kasa liyakov. It says so many times, mincha b'lo l'bashemet. Okay, so the Tosfos works on that. So it says, Shmuel asks Rav Huna, how do you know this din that misasik is pasal by kachma? So he says, it's a pasik, adrasha. He says, that I know, that l'chatchila. Where's the tzveitamol? Where is the shein ala b'kasa? Where does it say a second time that it should indicate that even b'diyevet is no good? So zakta minayin, that's what he says. Amal azubi adenohi. That I knew also. La'akev minayin. How do you know that? Where does it say a second time? That it's even ma'akev amalei. So he answered him. It says le'tzarchem tizbachu le'daitachem zvachem. So you learn out from the pasuk that shechitas kachim, you really need kavana. You have to have in mind that you're shechting and you know that this is a korban. So that's what Rabbi Yechanan had a suffix. Let's say the kid is before bar mitzvah, and they show the kid in the Beis HaMikdash, this is a korban oilam. So the kid says, oh, and then this side of the Azara, the left side, kid says, oh, Korban Eilam. He takes the behemoth to the right side of the Azara and says, give me a knife, and he shechts up that bracha, and he shechts it. So it's not the same as hollowing out a pumpkin. He mamish did a whole maisa. Here he didn't do a maisa. He moved the animal from the left side to the right side. It looks like the kid, and he didn't say, he's moving it because the halacha says that shechita skachi kachim needs tzof, and it just moved it. So should we assume that the kid, it seems that it's machshavtin ikeris mitoch maisa. Maybe we should consider that like a maisa, kotni eshla maisa, so the shechita will be good if someone else is watching, of course. The kid won't be nemon. Or should I say, no, maybe there was just not enough room over there. That's how the Gemara says. Maybe move from the left side to the right side. He didn't explain why not, that someone said, we can't shecht it, it's an oil, it's a kutch kutch, you got to shecht the other side anyway. No one explained it, so maybe just b'mikre he moved to that. That was Rabbi Yechanan, wasn't sure. So then the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yechanan said it then in another case. Achshavta nikeres mitoch maisa. What would be the din? Let's say the kid owns a farm, doesn't belong to the parents. Parents died, he's the owner. And he has a whole bushel of apples. And the apples, while they were growing on the tree, rained on it many times, but a dov ha-mechuba l'karka is not mekabel tuma. Mechuba l'karka is not mekabel hechsher l'kabel tuma either. So if he rinse off the apples while they're attached to the tree, it's not mekabel tuma. So he detached all the apples from the tree. And then it rains on the apples, and the kid is very happy about the fact. He says, good that it rained on the apples, now they're all clean. They washed off all the dirt, now it's clean. But that's only machshava. The kid didn't do any maisa over there. So even though if he would have been an adult after bar mitzvah, he would have been nichale. He would have been happy that it rained on it. Then it would have been huchshel kabel tuma. But over here, he's a katan, and he didn't do a maisa. It's only dibur. It's only machshava. So it wouldn't be huchshel kabel tuma. But what if the kid goes over while it's raining, goes over and he takes something and he starts mishing around in the apples to make sure that everything gets wet, that everything gets rinsed off properly. So that was Rabbi Yochanan Shaila with that bihuchsha lekabel tuma, that he considers that like machshavt and he carries mitoch ma'isa. It's not 100% clear. Maybe he's playing a game, but he's saying no. He's indicating that he wants everything to get rinsed off. Rabbi Yochanan said, on that case, machshavt and he carries mitoch ma'isa is the cotton that is good. So it would be hukshel lekabel tuma. So then the Gemara has a shaila. Did Rabbi Yochanan mean that that's min ha-Torah, that's so? So not only would it be true in that case happens to be l'chumra, that we say that the apples are now huchshel l'kabel tumah, and they'll be mekabel tumah if an ordinary tummy touches them. Would Rabbi Yochanan say that even l'kula, if the kid took the oil from this side of the azara to the other side, then he shechts it? He didn't really say explicitly why he's doing it. But it looks like it's machshapt and it carries betach ma'isav. Would he say bein l'kula, bein l'chumra? He would say the korban oil is good if someone else is watching it. If an adult is watching, maybe say that it's good. Or maybe Rabbi Yochanan only said, Machshavt and Ikeres Mitrach Maisav is L'chumra Midirabana. It's good L'chumra Midirabana to say that the apples are Huchshel L'kabel Tumah. But to say that the carbon should be a kosher carbon, Ad Kedei Kachna. So that's when the Gemara comes to the Maskon, Machshavt and Ikeres Mitrach Maisav, that's only Midirabana. It's not Ben HaTorah. Midiraisa Ein Lo Midirabana Yeshlo, so it would only be L'chumra, it wouldn't be L'kul. So that was what we left over from last time in the Gemara. That's the Gemara. Then Tosfos has a bit of a discussion. Tosfos has an important discussion here. Let's say by Chalitza. A couple is married and the husband dies and he never had any children. Not from this marriage, not from a previous marriage, not out of marriage. He has no children, so the wife needs Chalitza. If she wants to remarry, she needs Chalitza. We usually assume even if she does want to remarry, Chalitza is a mitzvah. Even if she's not interested. That's machlekes, is the mitzvah of chalitza. It's clear that it's a mitzvah. It's not just a matir. To give a get is nishke mitzvah. To give a get is a matir. The woman is permitted to remarry. You don't say there's a hidden mitzvah to write the get on an expensive piece of parchment or to have a golden case. There's no hidden mitzvah. There's a hidden mitzvah to make kiddush on a golden becher, to have a golden menorah or something like that, silver menorah. There's no mitzvah to me. There's no hidden mitzvah by get. A get is a matir, a shmata. You have a piece of paper, it's good. You don't have to have anything expensive. But chalitza is a mitzvah, so there would be an inyan of hidden mitzvah.
The mitzvah is on the brother, not on the wife.
Right, we assume the mitzvah is on the brother. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. So the more correct, the more accepted opinion is that the mitzvah even applies if the woman is not interested in remarrying. Other poskim, no, it's a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is only in the event that she's interested in remarrying. Then it's a mitzvah. The more accepted opinion is that it's a mitzvah, even if she's not interested. So let's say, what does chalitza consist of? So there are three parts to the chalitza. She has to take off the shoe from his right foot. The yevama, the almana, has to take off the shoe from the right foot of the brother-in-law, the surviving brother. Then she has to spit in front of him on the floor. She doesn't spit on him, spits in the floor in front of him. And then he recites a pasuk, she recites a pasuk back and forth, and the Bezna recites a pasuk, kacha yosel ish, and that's it. You have the rikike, and you have the chalitzas ha-sandal, you have the kriyas ha-psuk. So we pask in la-locha that only the chalitzas ha-sandal is ma'akev. So let's say the almana is a saleswoman in the shoe store, and her brother-in-law comes in to buy a pair of shoes. So she puts on a pair of shoes, she tries it on, she walks around with the shoes, he doesn't like it. He wants a different shoe. So she unties and she takes it, throws it away. Puts on another shoe, doesn't like it. So she took off the shoe from his right foot. So the Gemara said, that's not valid. You have to have kavana. You have to have achi iskaben hu, achi iskaben hu. They have to both have in mind that that's a question to the Chacham Tzvi has the shayla. The first shayla in the shoe is Chacham Tzvi. What kavana do you need? Kavana that this is the mitzvah of chalitza, or kavana lahate lashuk? What degree of kavanah do you need? So that's a question. But the Gemara says you need kavanah. The Gemara says that you need kavanah. So the shaila is, the Gemara sounds like it says that a cherishah to v'kotna, not only lav b'nei das, they're not even b'nei hochi of kavanah. The Gemara says, according to the Chachamim and Rav Nosson, shchita needs kavanah. So the cherishah to v'kotna couldn't shecht even if others would be watching. The Mishnah says cherishah to v'kotna is not a problem on the shechita, just a problem on the nemanis. So achirim roim osim, others are watching, so it's acceptable. And the Mishnah goes like Rav Nosson, that shechitas chulbin ain't a tzricha kavana. Shechitas kotchim does need kavana. That's the whole mokum. And the inference is that only by kotchim you need kavana. Shechitas chulbin is good, b'li kavana. So what if? So the Gemara says, what's with the chirush to be cotton? So the Gemara assumes they don't have kavana. Chirush to be cotton, their kavana doesn't count. So Tosis has a kasha. What's the din? Let's say, unfortunately, this happens every so often. A husband dies, and the surviving brother is a little boy before bar mitzvah. Can he do chalitza? So we should have said, we should have put two and two together. The Gemara says that if the girl is a salesman in the shoe store, she puts on a shoe, she takes it off, that's not the chalitza. Achi is kavan hu, achi is kavan hu, you need kavana. And our Gemara, that's a Gemara Yivamis. And our Gemara says that the cherushay to be cotton cannot have kavana, just like the la b'nei das, the not b'nei kavana. So if you put two and two together, you should have said that the cherushay to be cotton are unable to do chalitza. So Taisa says, there's a whole discussion in the Gemara Yivamis. They come to that conclusion in a roundabout way. The Gemara says like this. The pasuk says, after you do the chalitza, they say, kochi yosa la'ish, eshel yivnes beisochi. The Gemara says, ish prat l'kotin. You see from the mashmos of the word ish, that the kid has to be bar mitzvah. The surviving brother of the nifter has to be bar mitzvah. He's a kotin, can't do the chalitza. But it's only based on gzeiras hakasuv. And then the Mishnah says that if he is bar mitzvah, but she's a ketana, let's say the man died, he was 15 years old, and she's only 11 years old, and her father married her off, so she's married min haTorah. And then the husband dies, and she needs chalitza, so she's a ketana, she's only 11 years old, she's not yet bas mitzvah. So the Mishnah says, makshin anish aliyish, machlekes hatanaim, the pasuk says, kachi yosa aliyish, a cotton can't do chalitza. What about a ketana? Can a ketana do chalitza? So machlekes hatanam vipask and tana cannot do chalitz. Shaila, what about is it min haTorah? Is it min haRabbanan? If it's b'shas hadchak, is there room to be made? The whole discussion and the rishayim over there. To what extent do you say makshin and ishaliyish? What do you need a whole story about ish ksi b'parsha or makshin and ishaliyish? Why don't you just say go to the maskana? Cherushay to be katan la b'nei dasta not b'nei kavana chalitz and yit kavana. You put two and two together. So katan and tana can't do chalitz. Or the Gemara talks about a cherish v'chareshes. A cherish v'chareshes cannot do chalitza. The Gemara should have said, because they're not b'nei das, they're not b'nei kavana. Chalitza needs kavana. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says that the mitzvah of chalitza is a mitzvah that has three parts to it. You have the chalitza sasandal, taking off the shoe. Then you have the rikika, she has to spit in front of him on the floor. Then you have the kriyas apsukim. So we pass in la'alocha, there are three different opinions in the Tanoim. We learned Soita, so we discussed it there. So we pass on Halacha that the Kriyas HaPsukim is not Miyakev, and the Rikika is not Miyakev. The only thing that's Miyakev is the Chalitzas HaSandal. But the Gemara says it's only valid, the Chalitzas HaSandal is only Matir if they're right to do the Kriyas HaPsukim. Let's say the woman doesn't have any saliva. She just can't produce any saliva. So that's a whole deal in Poskim. She's not right to do Rikika. The Beis HaLevi has a discussion that. Is the Chalitza good or not? Or let's say they're not right to Kriyas HaPsukim. They're mutes. They're both mutes. The Yovan Nivam, they can't talk. So that for sure is no good. The Gemara says that you have to have the Omar V'Omra. The Cheresh V'Chareshes, they don't even have to be a deaf mute. If they're just mutes and they can't speak, so the whole Chalitza is no good. Because even though the Kriyas HaPsukim is not Miyakev, but if it's impossible for them to do the mitzvah b'shlei musa, and they do it shaloi b'shlei musa, then it's too much shaloi b'shlei musa. A lot of times you have a korban chatas, you have to do four zrikas. What if the eved you did one zrika? So the eved it's good. What if you only did one zrika on the floor? So you didn't do anything. It depends how incomplete. A lot of times an incomplete mitzvah the eved is good, but if it's too incomplete, then it's no good at all. So true, if you didn't do the Kriyas HaPsukim, so the Chalitza will be good, but if you're not even physically able to do the Kriyas HaPsukim, he and Shia, one or the other, is mute. They can't even, if they'll try to, They can't even do the Kriyas HaPasukim. So then it's too incomplete. The mitzvah is too incomplete because even if they would want to, it's not possible. So that's when the Gemara says, "Kol haray lebila and bila me'akevis bo. Kol she'en haray lebila bila me'akevis bo." It's too incomplete, then it's no good. So Tosfos says, why did the Gemara need this whole cockeyed explanation? Why the Cheresh and the Chareshes is no good? Because they're not roy lekriyas hapsukim. Why don't you just say, Cheresh v'chareshes la b'nei das, la b'nei das, they can't think kavana, they can't have kavana. The Gemara says the cotton is shchita b'li kavana, and chalitza needs kavana. Chalitza needs kavana. So give out of that kasha is not so strong, because he can say the Gemara wants to passel up a mute, not a deaf mute. It's a Cheresh la b'das, just a mute. Sheina medaber, but he shomea, veina medaber is a bardas. But if he's not royal omer v'yamra, so that's a psul, even just a mute, not a deaf mute, even if he is a bardas.
The mute can't appoint a shliach.
Right. The chalitza, the din is that you can't appoint a shliach. You cannot appoint a shliach. Yeah, that's the gemara. Let's say the yavam and yavama live in two different countries. And they just can't afford, years ago, let's say, and that behind the Iron Curtain, it was impossible. And Yotze Bein Bo, they didn't let anybody in, they didn't let anybody out. So what do you do? So can anybody appoint a shliach? So this is for sure that the Yovam cannot appoint a shliach to represent him, because the chalitza has to be from his right foot. So the right leg of the shliach is not better than the left leg of the Yovam. It's simply not the correct leg. It's not the right leg. It's not the correct leg. It's not the left leg, but it's not the right leg of the Yavama. The question is, the Yavama does the chalitza with her right hand only, and we tell her to put her left hand behind her back. Because there's one opinion on Tosfos and Chulin Taka, we're going to get to it later, Daf Chav. One opinion on Tosfos, that chalitza b'smol is no good b'dieved. The real pshat in the Mishnah Chalitza B'smol, she took off the shoe from his left leg. Doesn't mean she took it off with her left hand. But because Tosfos wrote such a funny pshat, so we're machmir l'chatchila. We don't allow the Yavama to take off the shoe with the left hand. We tell her, put your left hand behind your back. It's very hard because it has a double knot on it. It has a double knot on a bow. So she does everything with the right hand. But strictly speaking, the Gemara says, Gidemis, what if the Yavama doesn't have any arms at all? She's missing both arms. And she wants to remarry. So the Gemara says, Gidem is choletzes b'shineho. It shall lean over and untie the shoe with her teeth. And she'll be able to remove the shoe from his foot and throw it away. So that would be kosher. So that's the shaila. We understand the Yovam cannot appoint a shliach to represent him, because the chalitza has to be done with the right leg of the Yovam. And the right leg of the shliach is not better than the left leg. It's the wrong leg. It's the incorrect leg. But why can't the Yavama appoint the shliach? So in the early 1900s, there were some character rabbis, Mishagoyim in America and in Europe, who were saying that the Yavama can appoint the shliach. Only the Yavam cannot appoint the shliach. The Yavama can appoint the shliach. So if they live in two different ends of the globe, so the Yavama can appoint the shliach in the other place, send a letter to somebody there, you represent me, you do the chalitza to me. Reb Chaim Oizer and others and the Ragat Sheva, they were all tumbling that these people were off their rocker. Some of them lived in New York and some of them lived in Europe. So in the Torah Zazach, the halacha says you can't make a shliach. Not only can you not make a shliach because it's the wrong leg, even the Yavama cannot make a shliach. So they have to do it in person. That's the halacha. The chalitza has to be done in person. So that's Tosfos' kasha. So Tosfos bothered with the kasha.
If his right foot was amputated, he couldn't take it over.
No, then you do chalitza with the left foot. Yeah. If he has both, or let's say if he's left-legged. You see, already a lefty, we know which hand is stronger. Which hand does he write with? Which hand does he throw with? And if he's left-legged, let's say you put a football, you put a basketball, you say, kick the ball. So that's what the Besna always says, kick the ball. So they say, which foot is going to kick the ball with? So the foot that's stronger is the one he's going to do it with. So that's the one you do the chalitza with. Then you tell her to put her right hand behind the back. She does the chalitza with her left hand. Yeah. All based on psukim. No. Yibam, you're not allowed to rape the woman. You're not allowed to do Yibam al Karcha. But if you did it, it's good. But chalitza is a different parsha. No. No, the Gemara says Yibum is one thing. Yibum, you don't need his kavana either.
That's
He thought it was his own wife. He didn't realize. They both thought that it was somebody else. Still, so it's a bayibum, it's good. My chalitzi need that she's kavanah shnei. You need kavanah for both. So that's what Tosis raises this issue. Why does the Gemara in Yevamos have to come up with a new reason why a katna ktana is no good? Because ish ksi beparsha and maksina nishal ish. And you say that the chalitza of a cherish v'chareshis is no good because it's not royal kriyas apsukim. Why don't you just say based on our Gemara, the cherish ha'at v'katna la b'nei das. La b'nei das, they can't have kavana. And chalitza needs kavana. So Tosis explains, whenever you need das, let's say by mekach and memke to sell, to buy, to get married, to get divorced, you need das. So cherish ha'at v'katna pidin ala b'das. And it's not going to help. You're going to have someone standing next to the kid and explaining what marriage is. The Vilna Gaon the week before his bar mitzvah was a genius, and he could explain to everybody else better than them what mekach and memke is and what gittin v'kedushin is. So Halacha says that a cherish ha'at v'katna pidin is ala b'das. It's not going to help what we're going to explain to them. But Tosis says, by chalitza, the halacha doesn't require das. It's a din you need kavana. So since you have a bezdin, and the bezdin explains step by step what's going on, and they always instruct the yavam, you do this and you do that, and by doing this you'll become moteris, lehinasi lashuk. So there you do have kavana. Here also by the shechita, if someone would take the cut and they would explain to the kid, there's a behemoth, you have to shecht it, you got to do it like this, got to do it like that, then it would have been shechita with kavana. You wouldn't have to say the Mishnah only goes like Rab Nosson. If you would have someone, the Mishnah doesn't say, Acherim omnim al gabo. The Gemara says, Acherim roim oisam. Others are watching the cotton shech, they watch from a distance. But if it would be someone, Acherim omnim al gabo, and instructing them how to do the shechita, that would have been Acherim shechita with cotton, would have had kavana. A cotton can have kavana. It's just mufke, it can't have das. It can have kavana. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel has that, and Rabbi Chanan Basman, they all have like that. What does it help? The cotton does mitzvahs. If you hold mitzvahs, sichas kavana, and a cotton al pidin is a lab badas, he can't have kavana, so whatever he's going to do is worthless. It's meaningless. If mitzvahs, sichas kavana, so the cotton is a lab badas, he can't have kavana. So they all explain, not the same. A cotton al lab badas is one thing. Kavana he can have. The halacha says, when someone is a tomei meis, usually when a person is tomei, so he goes to the mikveh and he becomes tor. Sometimes you need this kind of a mikveh, the two different kinds of a mikveh. A zav needs maim chaim, everybody else a regular mikveh is good. Sometimes you got to wait a week, sometimes shivin akim, more than a week, okay? But basically, how do you become tor? You go to the mikveh, you become tor. If a person attended a funeral, he's a tomei meis, he doesn't become tor just by going to the mikveh. First, someone has to sprinkle on him paraduma water, shlishi yishvi, and then erish he can go to the mikveh and become tor. But first you have to have the hazaras of the paraduma water. So the Mishnah says that the hazar of the paraduma water, he's a tohar, ala tome, when they sprinkle it, you have to have kavana. So the Mishnah has a whole discussion. What if a cotton is going to be maza? All machleka satanayim in yuma. What do you mean? How can a cotton be maza? You need kavana. So the answer is a cotton can have kavana. The Gemara says here the Gemara is assuming the cherishat of the cotton doesn't have kavana. If you don't explain to him what's going on, but if acherim alam de moisam, then he is a bar hochi of kavanah. Then he would be able to have kavanah. The shmo he can't have. These are three different things. Das is one din. Mekachememka git mekedushin nedorim. That needs das. Then there's kavanah. Mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, according to many shitas. And chalitza needs kavanah. And what else? Hazos shlish shvi. Poraduma one needs kavanah. Then there's another category of lishma. We said the Gemara in Gittin says when you write to get lishma, so we assume that a cherish ha'tivikot, whoever is a lab badas, can't do lishma. So let's say a cotton puts the schach on the sukkah. Would that be acceptable or not? So I think before Yontif we spoke about it. I spoke in Yeshiva about it. So there's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah in sukkah and Aftes. The Shami hold that placing the schach on the sukkah has to be done lishma. So a cotton, a goy can't do lishma. Because a goy doesn't have the mitzvah, and a cotton also, al pidin is ala badas, can't do lishma. We don't paskin like bishama, we paskin like besilo. The placing the schach on the sukkah does not need lishma. So even though the goy can't create lishma because he doesn't have the mitzvah, a goy can't bake matzahs for Pesach because he's ain't a b'taris. He doesn't have the mitzvah matzah, so he can't create lishma. So if the din would have been like bishama, that placing the schach on the sukkah needs lishma, a goy wouldn't be able to place the schach on the sukkah. But we don't pass like b'shamo. We pass, you don't need lishma, so a goy can put it on. Shaz, what about a katan? So if you don't need lishma, so then it should be good if a katan puts it on also. So that's a diun and a avnei nezer. Maybe even though you don't need l'shem mitzvah, but the Gemara says you need l'shem tzel. You have to put the schach on with the intention that it should serve as a hut to protect the people on the bottom. It should be l'shem tzel. So the Avnei Nezer raises the question, based on our Gemara, maybe that kind of lishma, is that the same as kavana? So katan can have that kind of kavana? Or do you say, no, is that more similar to lishma? Pashta says, no, if you hold like Beishamai, you need l'shem mitzvah. So whoever is ain't a b'toros and a katan, a cheresh ad v'katan, can't create lishma. But just to have l'shem tzel, that's more similar to kavana. Kavana l'shem tzel is not lishma. So that a katan can sometimes have kavana. It was machshavta in the keres mitoch ma'isov. The Gemara came to the conclusion it's only good, it's only midirabana. So it's only lechumer. It wouldn't be good lekula. Only would be machshav lekabal tuma. But that's the question. By the sukkah, maybe it would be good. Tshuva in avdei nezer. What?
If you say the ma'isov makes it avdei kula, so
he's putting on the schach.
So he.
I mean, he did the whole asir. That's like hollowing out the pumpkin. Should be good. Should be good. I think that's his conclusion. I seem to remember that's the conclusion of the Nezer, that it is good. That according to the way Paschal like Basil, you don't need lishma by placing the schach on. So it would be good if the cotton puts on.
So this lishma is different than lishma of Ksivus HaGet, where the cotton would be good and it's called lishma.
By the get, the cotton cannot. The Gemara says the cotton cannot write lishma. Even though Acherim owned them all Gabov and Malam them also, no. If he's a lot badass, he can't create Lishma.
You say, if nowadays we don't allow Yibum, is that because you say that you don't have the right
Kavana? Right. The Gemara quotes Abishol disagreed with all the other Tanoim. So Abishol held the opinion. Every case of Yibum, you're really in violation of Eshesach. But B'makam Mitzvah is Mutter. Something like along the lines of Eser Dechalai Seser. He's really doing an Iser, but B'makam Mitzvah, we allow that Iser. So what if he's only doing the Mitzvah? What if he's only marrying her because she's good looking and not doing it L'shem Mitzvah? Or he's already 75 years old and no one wants to marry him. Now the girl is stuck. She has to, so now he finally got someone. Well, has no breiris, he wants to do yibum. But he's not interested in the l'shem mitzvah. He just for her money, or for her looks, or for her yichas, or whatever. He's not doing a l'shem mitzvah. So Abishol came up with a chiddush. It could be it's only with the rabbanon. That's a big question. Abishol came up with a chiddush that's not permissible. That we don't permit yibum unless you're doing the yibum l'shem mitzvah. And then in different generations, they paskan like Abishol. In different generations, they didn't paskan like Abishol. So that's a machlokes between the Sfardish Rishonim and the Ashkenazi Rishonim. What was the final conclusion? They changed the psak in different Mishnah Rishonim, Mishnah Achrona, they kept on changing. So the Ashkenazi Taisus on the side of the Gemara says, the final maskana was that we do follow Abishol. And the Sfardim say, no, the final maskana was that we don't paskan like Abishol, that you don't need kavana l'shemitz. So when they established Medina Yisrael in 1948, they established the Rabbanut HaRashid. So what are you going to have? The Ashkenazim are not going to permit the Yibum and the Sfardim are not going to permit. So they made all the Rabbanim, made a Heskem, they all agreed, the Sfardim are not going to allow Yibum anymore. So Shen, you have one Psak for the Sfardim and Ashkenazim. So if they said, I think 20 years later, Chacham Ovadia, before he was chief rabbi, wrote a whole tshuva, that Heskem, Mein Lo Zeh Shum Tokef, what right did the Sfardish Rabbanim have to sign a Heskem, an agreement that they're not going to perform Yibum? We paskan la'alocha that it's a mitzvah to do yibum. We should just ignore all of these Ashkenazim. That's his bug. That's Chacham Avadya had this bug in his head. That they were forcing, it wasn't right. Often they were forcing Ashkenazi psak on Sfardim. So he resisted that and he said we should force Sfardi psak on the Ashkenazim. That's what they quote him as saying, Kasher osa ken yos alo. They were forcing Ashkenazi psak on us, so we should not force Sfardi psak on them. In the early years after the Medina was established, there weren't too many Sfardish Talmid HaChachamim at that time. But he was very instrumental, Taki. He improved the chinuch for the Sfardim, and then he brought up a whole generation or two of Sfardishit big Talmid Chacham who know a lot. So then they took positions in Dayanus, and now they're paskening with Sfardim. So, okay, so Sfardim. Yeah, that's what all the poskim say. Rabbi Soloveitchik told us that when he was a rabbi in Boston, in the early years when he was a rabbi in Boston, there was a yavama. There was a man who died, and the wife needed chalitza, and the yavam was missing both legs, so he couldn't do chalitza. So he asked Rabbi Chaim Heller, "What do I do? What do you do? He can't do chalitza." So Rabbi Chaim Heller told him. Rabbi Chaim Heller was a big bucky. He knew all achren. So he rattled off all the marmakimus. He said, in that case, you have him do yibam, and then he gives a gift. Yeah.
Doesn't Kosher Sevier say that with giving the kokshim b'chutz zeket a few chilshot v'katan, and he said that it's not a din shlichus, but it's a din of kavana that can be b'shma, if God only knows that Kosher would hold that.
It's a question in the Gemara in Gittin. Maybe that's only good. The Kotan can write the Get Lishma, maybe only the Tofes, not the Torah. Only the part that only needs Lishma with the Rabbanim. The part that really needs Lishma in our Torah, so we wouldn't permit the Kotan to write that. If you only need Lishma with the Rabbanim, then we would. There are different versions in the Gemara than in Gittin on that Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a Cherishat of Kotan can write a Get. Then the Gemara has two opinions. Does it even apply to the Torah? The crucial part of the get that requires lishma min haTorah, or maybe it only applies to the teifas that only needs lishma min the rabban. Yeah, the teifas in here are very important. Yeah.
The yavam has to want to give the get.
Okay. It has to agree to give the get. Yes. Okay, we're up to the next mishnah. Shchita savikacham. The mishnah on Yud Gim Lamed Aleph. If a goy shechts a beima, shchitas. We would have said, if a goy shechts beim, Mishnah doesn't say a goy. Mishnah has shchitas oibet kochavim. He worships the stars. What if he's a nice guy? He's an atheist. He doesn't worship any avodah zarah. He's not an oibet avodah zarah. He's a goy. So the Rambam has a line that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The geder godol gidru bedover zeh. Sounds like the chachamim made a siog latorah geder. I say siog latorah. A siog is a geder, a fence. So the Rambam get a god gidrub dov is that even if the guy is a ger toshav, ger toshav means a guy who appeared in the presence of a bezin of three Jews, and he committed himself, he obligated himself to observe all the shevim mitzvahs bin anach, including avodah zarah. So he's not an avodah zarah. So the Rambam says god gidrub dov is that even if he's a ger toshav, he's also shchitas anavelo. So there's a big machlokes the mefarshim on the Rambam. Usually that expression. A say siog la Torah means make a hachokim in the rabbanim, make a siog. A gzera in the rabbanim. So the ger god gidru sounds like it's a gzera in the rabbanim. So it sounds like if a ger toshav shechts a beima, it's only possible in the rabbanim. And others learn in the Rambam, no. The ger god gidru b'dovah zeh means that it's a loy plug deraisa. Even though it's in the plural, ger god gidru doesn't say ger god gidra hatorah. B'dovah zeh says gidru sounds like the rabbis introduce it. So others learn now that there is a concept of a siog deraisa. You have dinim, there's a braisa like that. The Mesillas Rishari makes a whole big deal about this braisa. Eze hu siog she'osa sator lidvarah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, ha'sei siog latar. Hey, mom, shlosh dvarim. Anshe knes ha'gdodla. The first Mishnah says, hey, mom, shlosh dvarim. One of them was, ha'sei siog latar. So then in Avos de Rab Nosan, you have on all the Pirkei Avos, Avraham Nosson has more barichas. They have longer commentaries spelling out the more the details. So the Avos de Rab Nosson has a commentary on that Mishnah, and it appears in Medrash Rabbah, also in a few places. Where do you have a siog deraisa that you should pattern dinim de rabbanon, siogim harchok is de rabbanon after the siogim deraisa? So the Avos de Rab Nosson gives two examples. One is the nazir. We don't want the nazir to drink wine. He's not going to get drunk if he eats grapes. And the Torah says he's not allowed to eat grapes. He's not allowed to eat the pits of the grapes. He's going to get drunk from eating the pits of the grapes. So the Avos de Rab Nosson presented, the Midrashim also presented, that's a siog deraisa. The real issue is that he shouldn't drink wine. We don't want him to get shikar. And a siog deraisa is that it's a pasuk of chumash, but not even allowed him to eat the grapes. But what's another example? an eshes ish. You're not allowed to be together with someone else's wife. I'm just going to kiss her. I'm just going to hug her. I'm going to dance with someone else's wife. My wife is watching. I'm not going to start off with the other one's wife. My wife is watching. My wife gives me permission to dance with the other one's wife. So the Torah says, what's Yisroch Shasa the Torah Devarecha? How does it say? Elisha benidus tamasa le'sikavu le'galasar. Even kiruv basa. Even to kiss the other woman or to hug her or to dance with her is also an Isser, and it sounds from the Abbas Ramnasan as if it's an Isser derais. That's in the Rishonim, that's a machlokes, whether that's derais or derabbanan. So Abbas Ramnasan sounds like the Rambam, that it's an Isser derais. So you have, and Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole essay, he goes through Shas, he gives you a whole list of Isurim derais that are siog, that's really a siog. He quotes the Ran in the beginning of Psachim, has such a comment, that by Matzah is a siog. The real Isser is not to eat chametz. But because the prohibition against eating chametz is so severe, the einish is kares, one who eats chametz is kares, so the Torah made a siyag, you're not even allowed to have chametz in your ownership, in your possession, shema yavu l'de achilu. That's a siyag derais. So Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes that, he quotes Mother Marma comes from Mishainim, from Achrainim, that you have siyag derais.
How do you determine a siyag derais then? How do you determine that this is a siyag derais and not just a mishnah?
You have to have rayas. Say the Ran has a, Iran uses this to answer akasha. Atosis kash, so or the obviously Rav Nosson is a source. So you have to have a raya to say such an idea that an iser is not really b'toras atzma; it's a siyog for something else. So that's the question. The Rambam used the lashon the geder gadol gidra b'dovazeh. The rabbis made a geder. It sounds like a derabbanon. Another noisy kelim assist no means that's a siyog. The Shachan Yerudeh quotes the two pshatim and the Ram. What it means a siyog deraiser is siyog derabbanon. That even a ger toshev cannot shecht. What's the issue? What's the issue? Why can a goy not shecht? The Mishnah says shechita sabe kachavim nevela. What's wrong with shechita sabe kachavim? It's on the side, on the right hand margin. It says hata in brackets. It says hata mavur b'toisus liel gimel amad beis dibamaskal kasavar. Toisus says toisus and the Rosh. The Rosh always said the same as toisus. Toisus and the Rosh present one shechita. The Rambam has a totally different shita. So Tosis and the Rosh hold, one is only kosher to function as a sheikhei if he's a bar zvicha, if the shechita is relevant to him. So shechita is relevant only to Jews. A Jew is not allowed to eat nevela. A non-Jew is permitted to eat nevela. If an animal dies a natural death, let's say you have the meat and the AMP is nevela, I'm not going to eat it. What if I'm going to pick it up? So I'll be mekabel tuma. Nevela is metame. And even though it's in a wrapper, it's metame b'masa. If I touch it mamish, that's metame b'maga. And if it's wrapped up, or if I'm wearing gloves, so then there's no maga, but there's masa. I pick it up, it's metame b'masa. So a Jew is mekabel tumah, and nochri is not mekabel tumah. So the whole issue of nevela, shechita, nevela, is irrelevant for the nochri. He's not a bar zvicha. He's allowed to eat nevela, and he's not mekabel tumah. For Jews, it is relevant. Even a cotton, even though the cotton Minatar is allowed to eat nevela. It's only mitam chinuch, he's not allowed to eat nevela, but cotton is Jewish, so he's mekabel tumah. So cotton is also a bar zvicha. The issue of shechita, whether the behemah was geshochten or not, is relevant to all the Jews in the world, men, women, children. Are they mekabel tumah? They're not mekabel tumah. So Tosis says, the chachamim must have darshan, there is no gemara like that. Tosis is guessing, they reconstruct, the chachamim must have darshan from a pasuk, that the only one that can perform the shechita, the shechit has to be a bar zvicha, one is in the parsha. Whoever is in a bar zvicha is not right to serve as a shechit. So the nochrim don't have. So according to the Tosfos, that a nochri is not a bar zvicha, it doesn't make a difference whether he's a ger toshev or not. A ger toshev only commits himself, only obligates himself to observe carefully the sheva mitzvah's been in noach. He's not mekabel tumah. And he's not prohibited from eating the nevela. So according to Tosfos, there's no chiddush. Of course, a ger toshev is no good for shechita. The Rambam has a totally different shita from Tosfos. According to Tosfos, and the Mishnah says shechita sav kachav min nevela or metame b'masa, it's metame b'masa min haTorah. So real nevela, the shechita was worthless. It's zero, and a nevela meat and the AMP is metame b'maga b'masa. The Rambam writes the metame b'masa is only midirabbanan. The shechita sagoy is a good shechita. There's no such din that you need a bar zvicha. A goy shechta beheime is a good shechita. And the metame b'masa is only a chumra midirabbanan. So where do we come off to say shechita sav gechom is an avela? So the Rambam says that pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, I think, Well, the Torah says when we move into Eretz Yisrael, we better be careful to chase out the Zionumas, because we're going to leave them behind, we're going to have a lot of tzaras from them. Psukim in different places say, so in one place, I think Parshat Mishpatim, it says, if we're going to let them live in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to continue to worship Avodah Zarah, and then they're going to invite us to eat by them. They'll invite you to eat, and then they'll be feeding us from the behemoths that they shechted Avodah Zarah. That's the krubis. They'll feed us the krubis. So the Rambam says, that's the mocker. Avikachavim means literally, an Avodah Zarah. A nochri who's an Avodah Zarah, who shechts Avodah Zarah, he makes the krubis, and the krubis is asa b'achila, asa b'anah. So we're not allowed to eat from any shechitas ha-goy because the goyim have to do with Avodah Zarah. But the fact that it's Bantame ben Masa, that's only a chumer midirabon. So the Rambam has to write a chiddush l'shita soy. It only makes sense if the goy is an ovid avod is kachavim. What if he's a ger toishav? So the Rambam writes, v'ger agadol gidru b'dover z'idah midirabonon om in ha-toyra, the different opinions, that even a ger toishav who is far away from Avodah Zarah, he obligated himself to observe strictly the Sheva mitzvahs. He's not going to worship Avodah Zarah. Even if he shechts, it's also an avela. And some hold it's only an avela mid the Rabbanah, because he's not an avela Avodah Zarah. It'll happen after me. There are few enough communities. Let's say, according to the Rambam, if a goy shechts a behema, it's a good shechita. It's just you're not allowed to eat it because it's like the krubis. So what will it be a din of osavi as beno? There's a din, you're not allowed to shech two behemoths on the same day. But if you shot one of them, the mother and the vlad on the same day. So let if you shot one behemoth, so that was no shechita, so that doesn't count. So if you made it in the veil, it does count. What if a goy shechts one of them? So the Ramahol shechita sakum is a shechita, it's mitar midein a veil min ha-Torah. So the tumas masa is only with the rabbanon, it's a good shechita. It's just that the kor lochov yachalta mizivcha, it's like a p'china. We'll have to discuss even more. The Rambam has more than that, a bigger chiddush. So according to the Rambam, there should be a dinner of Osavi Ezbano. It'll be also for me to shech the Osavi Ezbano on the same day. But according to Taisvis, the goy is not a barzvich. It's like the animal was mesa me'elah. So it won't be an iser of Osavi Ezbano on the same day.
Would Rambam classify Yagedim, maybe Raisa, in the Sefer, in one of the mistos?
Would he count what?
Would he count one of these Gedorim Midiraisa as a mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs?
Yeah, he counts. So let's say the Nozir is not allowed to eat grapes. He probably counts it together with the Yayin. He doesn't count it as a separate.
Yes, please,
the three things that you count Tiglachas as one prohibition, Yayin is separate prohibition, and Tumah is the third one. So included in the Yayin is the grapes. I don't think he counts the grapes separately. I don't remember. Maybe he does. That's written in Chumash. Yeah, it's a separate issue. You see over there, by the Nazir, it's all, you're not allowed to eat or drink, all these things. It could be the Rama does count it as a separate loisesi, I don't remember, by the grapes and the wine. I don't remember. But by Rabbi Matzah is counted as a separate mitzvah, separate from Achila. Yeah.
Even though it's a
keter, even it's a siyah. Right. Here the Gemara has a comment, and this comment will lead to a little more in the Rambam. The Gemara comments on the Mishnah, if a goy shechts a behema, goy ovid avodah zarah, shechts shechitas ovid kochavim, he's a goy who worships avodah zarah, so it says nevela. Zog the Gemara diuk, nevela en, it's only, yes, en means correct. Nevela en, it is nevela, but isa hano aloi, but it's not the krubis of it is Zara. So the Gemara says, man tana, whose opinion does the Mishnah go like? Amar p'chei b'rabab, amar rabbi yechon, the loike rablezer. The ike rablezer, rablezer says later in the Mesichta, alamat ches, stam achsheh b'savik kachovim l'avet Zara. If you have a goy who once in a while shechts v'avet Zara, he's an avet Zara, he probably is thinking l'shem, whenever he shechts an animal, you have to consider the possibility, he's thinking l'shem to krubis of it is Zara. And it's also banot. The krubis of the zara is also banot. So the Mishnah says shechitas have come is only in a vela. It's also bachila. Doesn't say it's also banot. So the Mishnah is against Reb Lezer. We don't pass like Reb Lezer. We rarely pass on Reb Lezer. Shamutahu. We rarely pass on like Reb Lezer. He was from the Bishamai. So we don't pass on like him. So the Rambam has this fascinating idea. The Rambam seems to have understood Reb Lezer holds shechitas of kachab in a vela. shchitas of gechavim is also banah. We have to be concerned. Maybe he was thinking the shame of avodah zarah. So we don't pass like that. We don't assume stam achsheb is avodah gechavim avodah zarah. But the Rambam seems to imply that in the back of his mind, he probably may be thinking about avodah zarah. So you're not like kor lechav echalta mizivcha. The chumash means the goyim and eretz will invite us to eat tikruvah. So the Rambam says, you're not allowed to eat from Shechita Sakam, because even though consciously he's not thinking of it, but maybe subconsciously he's thinking of Avodah Zarah. So that's why if somebody shechts a behemah Avodah Zarah beferish, this is a tikruvus, this is I'm worshipping this Avodah Zarah, this tikruvus, then everyone would agree that it's asam anah. If a person shechts, a person who is rogil, he's in the practice that he worships Avodah Zarah, so he shechts Avodah Zarah. So Reb Lezer is of the opinion, we don't accept it. Reb Lezer is of the opinion, you have to be concerned, maybe he was openly thinking L'shem Tekruvis, and it's Asmanah. So we don't accept his opinion. Reb Lezer Shamutihu, we don't accept his opinion. But the Chachamim hold partially like Reb Lezer. You're not allowed to eat it because in the back of his mind, subconsciously, maybe he's thinking L'shem Avodah Zarah. So subconscious thought L'shem Avodah Zarah, only Asas Bachila does Nasabanah. How do you know the Rambam said that? The Rambam writes the following Chiddush Din. It says on the side to look on Lamed Ches on the base. So if you look, that's where the main sugi is. They look there, Lamed Ches, a little bit of a discussion. Lamed Ches on the base, the Gemara has like this. On the bottom, the last 20 lines on the dot. So the Gemara quotes there right after the Mishnah. Right after the Mishnah. So in the Gemara, they quote the second line in the Gemara, the Tanya Omer Ablezer, Rabbi Yossi. Shamaitesh ha'abaylim efaglim. Pigel is like this. You shech the carbon in the Beis HaMikdosh. So if it's a shlamim, you can eat it today and tomorrow. You can't shech balayla. Let's say you shech the shlamim Wednesday in the daytime, so you can eat it Wednesday night and Thursday up until Lishkiah. So the guy shechts the shlamim, and he has in mind, he's going to put it in the freezer, and he's going to eat it on Shabbos, not just Wednesday or Thursday. He's going to eat it next Shabbos. Parshas Lech Lecha, he's going to eat it Parshas Lech Lecha. So that's pigul. That's machsheb is chutz l'zmanah. He plans to eat it after the zman is up. Every carbon has a zman on them. So if you have a mind to eat it, chutz l'zmanah, so that's pigul. And even if you eat it tux manah, you chayv koris. Pigul is an isa koris. So there's a machlekes hatanoim. What if I bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdosh and I ask, I don't know how to shecht the behena. So I ask somebody there, please shecht it. It's a shlomim, shecht it and do the avodah. So I have in mind, I tell everybody, I'm going to put it in the freezer, I'm going to eat it. Next Shabbos, Parshas Lech Lecha. I have the favorite in mind, but I didn't do the Avodah. But I'm the Balak Korban. I paid for the Korban, it's offered on my behalf. Is the din only the Kohen who does the Avodah can have Machshavas Pigul? Or should you say even Baila Mefaglim? Whoever is the owner of the Korban, on whose behalf the Korban is being offered, he also has the ability to stick in his 2 cents. So that's the opinion of the Tana, Rav Lezer, Rav Yaisi. Shamaiti, I heard from the earlier generation, Shabailam efaglim. So that's a machlekes hatanoim, whether that's true or not, whether bailam efaglim. So now on the assumption that bailam efaglim, would you say bailam efaglim is in the Beis HaMikdosh, doesn't make pigle, that's lefnim in the Beis HaMikdosh. What about bachutz? So let's say a goy wants me to slaughter his animal, he knows I'm a shoychid, he wants me to slaughter the animal. And he says, I need the animal slaughtered because it's he worships this and this getchke, and he wants the shechdit l'shem Avodah Zarah. And he's going to pay me $20 to shech the payment. So I take the $20, I say, let him think whatever he wants. I say, Abroch, I'm shechting the payment. It's kosher flesh, whoever wants can eat it. But he's screaming, he says that he wants it to be nishchat l'shem Avodah Zarah. So would you say, yalfin on chutz mipnim, on the assumption that Bailam Efaglim in the Beis HaMikdosh Bifnim, that the Bala Korban can have his machshove, the Kavanas Pigol of the Bala Korban can be Chal on the Korban. So would you carry that over to Lachutz? When the owner is a Nochri and is thinking L'shem Avodah Zarah, but the one who's shechting it is a Jew, he doesn't care about it, he's uninterested in L'shem Avodah Zarah. Would you say Yafinu Chutz Mipnim or not? So we paskin no lo Yafinu Chutz, we paskin both not. So the Rambam writes a fascinating chiddush. If a goy asks a Jew to shecht the behemah for him, so the Rambam says, a mazel, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah says, is a mazel, that's not his language, he says, we don't paskin bailim afaglim. If the din would have been Baila Mefaglim, a Jew would shech the behemah that belongs to a non-Jew, it would be Shechitas and Aveila. What, when, where, why? Why should it be Shechitas and Aveila? If a Goy shechts a behemah, Shechitas and Aveila, a Jew shechted it. If the Goyisha owner thinks L'shem Abad Azara, so then the Gemara tells so, it has to do with Baila Mefaglim. Can the Kavanas Bala Korban relate to the Korban? So if you hold Baila Mefaglim, the Baalim is not doing the Avodah, the Kohen is shechting. Someone else is doing the Shechita. But this Tana, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi holds, the Machshev is Bala Korban, can relate to the Korban. Now, if you hold Yafinu Chutz Bepneim, that if the Goy wants me to shecht his Behemah, he has Kavanah L'Shem Avodah Zarah, he's screaming, he wants it to be Tekrubis Avodah, and I laugh at him, I take my $20, I do the Shechita, I don't care what he has in mind, I'm not doing the L'Shem Avodah Zarah. So the Rama, so then the Gemara said that would have been an issue. Yafinu chutz mepnim and baila mefaglim. But we're talking the goy is not ovid avod azar. The goy doesn't stay. He wants it l'shem avod azar. A goy who shechts is shechitas and avela. So the Rambam says if the din would have been that baila mefaglim and yafinu chutz mepnim, a Jew who would ever shech the behema on behalf of a goy, the behema would be yosa b'achila. Why should it be yosa b'achila? The goy didn't think l'shem avod azar. So you see that the Rambam understood. Rab Lezer holds Tam Achshev Esakim L'Avod Azar. The Goyim are all with the Avod Azar. Rob is thinking L'Shem Avod Azar. We don't accept that opinion. Gemara says the Mishnah is against Rab Lezer Shita. But we assume subconsciously, in the back of his mind, he is thinking L'Shem Avod Azar. So that subconscious Machshev doesn't Asa B'Hanoah, but is enough to Asa B'Achila. So that's the reason why Shechita Sakam is Nebele, because L'Chol V'Yachalta Mizivchoi, is because it is Tekruvus. But if it would have been outright Tekruvus, L'Shem Avod Azar would have been Asabah. No, it's not outright Tekruvus. We don't accept Rab Lezer who says every Avod Azar has in mind explicitly L'Shem Avod Azar. We say no, every Avod Azar has in the back of his mind. He's an Avod Azar, probably subconsciously, in the back of his mind, he's thinking Sekitzel T'Mabdissel, he's thinking L'Shem Avod Azar. So that's enough to aser, like pigul, like a machshevis tekruvis. So if a Jew would shecht on behalf of a goy, if the din would have been baila mefaglim and yafinu chutz b'nei, would have been asa b'ano. So the Rambam says a mazel that we don't paskin baila mefaglim. So that's why it's kosher. But if you would have said like Tosfos that shechita sakim is no good because he's not a bar zvicha, so the Jew is shechting a behemah. Who cares who the balak behemah? Who cares whether he's shechting on behalf of a Jew, shechting on behalf of a non-Jew? The shechita can't be done by a non-Jew, but it can be done by a Jew, so the Jew is shechting. You see that the Rambam really disagrees totally with Tosfos. Shechitas nachri is a real shechita, but it's in a certain sense, it's always tekruvus. So that's why he writes a chiddush. And even if the goy is so far away from Avodah Zarah, he's a ger toshav, he committed himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, still get a gadol gidra b'davzeh, even there it's also b'achila. Also we declare it as tekruvus. And that's the machlekes, whether the Rama meant the Raisa the Rabban. Either he eats it or he gets other people to eat it. He has to see to it that someone should eat it. Reason, right? Either so, he or someone else has to
eat it. He can have it in mind that he wants to eat it for Shabbos before he does it?
He's not allowed to have that in mind. That you make it pigul.
So it's pigul.
No, but he's not doing the shechita.
It's there, but it's still pigul, isn't it?
No. That's the machlekes.
It'll be kosher.
We pass him kosher. We pass him by lama not mefaglim.
So what is it? He's over love or something?
No, not over any love. You make sure you eat it on Wednesday and Thursday.
He doesn't eat it.
He doesn't eat it. So he violated lo sesir men ad boiker. You're not allowed to be moisir.
So it's a love.
That's a love to leave over.
Love.
Yeah.
But only one of the kohen can make it.
If the one who does the avodah,
the only avodah can make it.
Right, he can
make it.
That's how we paskin, by lemanat mefaglim, right.
How do we accept kavanos from goyim in the first place? This is a problem.
The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that we can't accept. I mean, Akasha, according to this Tana Rav Lezer, by lemefaglim. What do you mean, by lemefaglim? Why, the goy has a mind to eat it at a later date. What's the problem? I mean, he thinks that the goyim are always thinking the shame of it is our. Well, if we tell him, we'll accept sacrifices if you have a mind for the God of the Jewish people. Zokta, yes, he says, Beferish, he has a mind for the God of the Jewish people. Okay, the Jewish God, not for Yoshkin. So he says, Beferish is good. Not, Reb Lezer says, Stam achshev esakim la ve'es. Stam means doesn't say one way or the other. So Reb Lezer has a chiddush. Stam achshev es ovid kachavim is la ve'ezor. But if we tell him we can't accept the sacrifice if you have in mind for osa huish, if you have in mind for the God of the Jewish people, zokta, yes, so that's not stam. So then it's machshavta l'ashamayim. Then you do accept it. Well, learns that from a pasuk. Everyone agrees that nochrim can offer in the dorm and the dovas. They can't bring a korban pesach. They can't bring a chatas and an osham, because those korbanos are not bo ben edim and a dov. He can't volunteer them. But a noila and a shlamim, a noila he can accept. A shlamim is all discussion in the gemara. What do you do? The guy brings a shlamim. Yeah, this is a gishmaki gemara. In this week said we have the story of the Mabul. The whole story of the Mabul, the whole thing was a miracle, the whole thing was an S. There isn't so much water in the whole wide world. The Tanoim knew that there's such a thing as a water cycle. That the rain, it doesn't keep on coming rain on Ashiya. It rains and the water goes back up to the sky. It evaporates, then it comes down, then it goes up, then it comes down. There's a limit how much water there is. There isn't enough water in the whole world. You put all the water together, there isn't enough water that it should cover the whole globe, all over 60 amas above the highest mountain. It doesn't exist. The whole story of the Mabul was an S. It was an S agabi Ness. One of the many Nisim, Ness agabi Ness, agabi Ness, was that the Gemara has a tradition, the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. There were no walls preventing the water from going through. Eretz Yisrael was already singled out from day number one. When the world was created, the Gemara has demonstrates from Sukkim and the Chumash, when you move to Eretz, it's called Aliyah. When you move to Chutzal, it's called Yirida. So why is it called Aliyah? So Eretz Yisrael Gavayim Mikol Aratz. Eretz Yisrael is higher than the rest of the world. Eretz Yisrael is not as high as the Swiss Alps. The Rockies are also higher than Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean Eretz Yisrael Gavayim Mikol Aratz is the highest location above the sea level? It's not true. Then the Gemara says, Yerushalayim Gavayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the highest. It's not true. The Gemara says Einitim is higher than Yerushalayim. The Gemara says the din is l'shichna sidushu uvas hashama, that first the Rabbanim have to try to figure out Talmid Chachamim, the Gedolei Hador have to try to figure out where the Beis Hamikdash should be built, and then after they figure out what they think is the correct location, then they have to consult the Navi. L'shichna sidushu drosh al pi Navi. So first the Gemara says that David HaMelech was figuring out, and he decided it should be in Ein Itim. That's the highest elevation above sea level in Eretz Yisrael. And then he asked the Navi, and the Navi said, no, you have to go down a little bit. Think safe of Shochen, you have to go a little bit. And Yerushalayim is lower than Ein Itim. So what does the Gemara prove from a pasuk that Yerushalayim Gavayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael? But the Gemara knows that it's not true. What does the Gemara say? Eretz Yisrael Gavayim Mikol Aratz. It's not true. Eretz Yisrael is not the highest elevation above the sea level. So the Balamor in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chav explains. There's a Peladiki Gemara there that Rashi and Taisus have a pshat no one understands. So the Balamor, the Chazanish writes that there are seven Rishanim, they all say the same pshat. The Gemara is talking about the issue of the international dateline. So where is the international dateline? If you keep on traveling to the east, Eretz Yisrael is Mekabel Shabbos 7 hours before here in America. Then Los Angeles, Mekabel Shabbos 3 hours later. So if you keep on going to the east, Shabbos begins earlier. Keep on going to the west, Shabbos begins later. So there has to be some point in between Eretz Yisrael and Los Angeles where there's a line over there. Ad kan v'lo yaser. This is the earlier Shabbos is going to become, and then on the other side that's going to be later. So it can't keep on going. So where is that date line? So that's what Rashi and Taisus have. There's no Gemara. According to Rashi, there's no Gemara ever talks about the issue of international date line. But the Balamor and the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and five other Rishonim, seven Rishonim Sahagol, they talk about this. They learn that the Gemara talks about it. Where is the international date line? So they say it's 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. Why? So they explain the earth is a globe. The globe has two hemispheres, upper hemisphere, lower hemisphere. So when the Rabbi Shalom created the world, what was on top? So we usually visualize North Pole is on top. If you want, you can visualize the South Pole is on top. The North Pole has to be on top. The question is, when Baruch Shalom created the world, what was on top? I was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. You can make Scranton on top. You can make New York on top. Whatever you want, you can put. When the Baruch Shalom created the world, what was on top? So that's what the Gemara says. Eretz Yisrael Gavayim Mikol Aratzis. the first second when the world came into existence, Eretz Yisrael was on top, and Yerushalayim Gevayim Mekal Eretz Yisrael. It was Yerushalayim was on top. That's the highest point of the upper hemisphere, and the upper hemisphere is 12 hours, and the lower hemisphere all around is 24 hours. So that's what these seven Rishonim said. That's what the Chazon Ish Paskin International Dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. It cuts through Korea. So that's a Shaila. What do you mean? Eastern Korea is the last place in the world to have Shabbos, and Western Korea is the first place in the world. Across the street, here it's Erev Shabbos, and here it's Shabbos. How can it be? So the details you got to work out. So the Chazon Ish and others, discuss, how do you work out the details? But in principle, it cuts through Korea, and it cuts through Australia. There's a Shaila, how do you deal? Two-thirds of Australia are to the east of the dateline, and one-third of Australia to the west of the dateline. These say the miut is nigger after the rove. These say the Iker hemisphere is that hemisphere that has Eretz Yisrael in it. The details are a big issue, but in principle, that's the clock. So when the Rebbeinu Shlomo created the world, Eretz Yisrael played a central role. That was on top. Yerushalayim is on top. And then when the Mabul came, the tradition has it, that the Gemara has a tradition, the Mabul did not affect Eretz Yisrael. There are no walls separating. Somehow Eretz Yisrael was singled out. The whole Mabul was Nisim. There isn't so much water in the whole wide world. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo made a nest, and he destroyed the whole world with this Mabul. And all the water didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. Nothing happened in Eretz Yisrael. Then you have later, at the end of Parshas Noach, you have that Terach, the father of Avraham Avinu, decided he wants to go to Eretz Canaan. What did he decide? He started to go to Eretz Canaan, then he stopped in the middle. Then Rebbeinu Shlomo tells Avraham Avinu, you go to Eretz Canaan. Apparently, either it be some of Farsh Machomish, I think the Sfarna says, because the whole world was destroyed because of the Mabul, and they all realized Eretz Yisrael was never affected by the Mabul, so they thought it's healthier there, the air is clearer, the fruits and the vegetables are better, because everything was a mush, everything was destroyed. So either he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because of the Gashmias, because it's healthier there, or because of Ruchnias, somehow they all understood. Eretz Yisrael must be a more spiritual place, Vaharai, that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. So he started to move to Eretz Yisrael, but he never went all the way. Somehow he got lazy, he stopped in the middle. Then the Baruch Shalom told Avraham Avinu, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNevcheres. It was singled out from day number one. From the Tchilas Bria Shamayim Eretz, it was singled out. And true, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael wasn't accomplished until after Yeshua Ben Nun crossed over the Yarden with Bnei Yisrael, and it took 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Sheva Shekovshu, then it took 7 years, Sheva Shechilku, took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael to the Shvatim and to the Mishpachas, to the Yechidim. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael wasn't completed until the 15th year, in the first 14 years, there was yet no Kedusha, but there was a significance, there was a Hashivas to Eretz Yisrael, even before they were Mekadosh. There was some kind of inherent Kedusha. There was a Hashivas before they were Mekadosh.
What about the animals and the people in Eretz Yisrael during the
Mabul? I don't know. It's a good question. The Gemara doesn't discuss it. I don't know.
The shift is, if somewhere a year or later is destroyed, that's why I called him Ole. Ole Beruchaniyut.
Ole Beruchaniyut also, yeah. But the reason why we call it Ole, because there it's so Gevayim, we call it Haratzas. Bishaz Briya was Gevayim. Very good.
When you say Rosh Hashanah, I am Haratz Allah. What are we referring to? Creation,
sixth day of creation. But Adam Arishon was created. The first 5 days was prehistoric. There was nobody watching. There was only a bunch of them. But the sixth day was when human history began. So that's Hayom Harasol. Today's the birthday of the world means Adam Arishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. So the sixth day of the Sheshes made creation.
How do you show the fruit? Can you daven tomorrow?
I didn't daven, no.
Okay.